many of you have been kind of looking for more? More from the Lord. You know, you're kind of tired of the same old, same old. I get dry sometimes. I think that's probably a pretty accurate word. And I have to stop and think, Lord, what am I doing that's drawing me closer to you? What's helping our relationship? And sometimes I have to stop and say, wow, my schedule's too full. You know, I need to really slow down a little bit and just say, whoa, Lord, forgive me for not making time for you. Right? Anybody else? Am I the only one? Life gets busy. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to us, that's not how I designed you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to know me intimately as I know you. God's saying that to us. He knows us intimately. What's Scripture say? It says he's counted the very hairs on our head. And I laugh about that because I lose so many. Every time I take a shower, it's like, Lord, you got to be good. He is good, isn't he? Amen. Well, I've already prayed. This is part two of what I'm calling, How Can You Know That You Are Saved? Woo-hoo! And this is just a general primer. Some of you theologians, I'm sure that this is nothing new for you. But again, these are things we need to be sharing with people who are new to the Lord. You know, there are many blessings that the Lord has for his people as they become born again. Right? You're a new creation in Christ. And there are so many things God wants to share with us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I shared this last week. Anybody who belongs to Christ, read it with me. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. How many can say amen?
Amen.
The old man is gone. Now, some of us are old men. Right, David? Brother Wisely? Yes. Reverend Wisely? No, no more. You're always going to be a reverend. This is one of Pastor Roger's friends over here. And I'm sorry, I don't know your... Sharon. Welcome, Sharon. Anyway, sidetracked. Sorry about that. Doesn't take much. Squirrel! The Holy Spirit, Paul points out, is given to us as a guarantee, isn't he? A guarantee that everything in Christ is yes and amen. All the promises that God has given us. And if you start with verse 21 in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, and again, the highlight is mine, it is God who enables us. It is God who equips us. It is God who gives us what we need to stand firm for Christ. We can't do this in and of ourselves. If we try, we're going to fail. He has commissioned us. He has identified us as his own. By what? Placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. Now, this goes right back to the verse just before this, which I've kind of already alluded to. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. We cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit taking up residence within us. When you become born again, God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And on the flip side, once we have the Holy Spirit, he becomes the guarantee of these promises spoken of right here. And what promises are those? It's right here. You got a book full, right? You want to know, read the book. Don't let your Bible pick up dust. Read it. Get to know it. Become intimate with God's Word. When you have the Holy Spirit living in you, everything is yes and amen in Christ. So having the Holy Spirit living in you is a sign of your being born again, a new person. And when you ask for anything, and I'm talking about things that line up with God's Word, when you ask for anything, they will be given to you. Jesus said that. He wants you to bear fruit as His disciples. I talked about that last week. Let's go back and read what Jesus said about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus had risen from the dead, He appeared to His disciples in a room, and they were all talking about how they'd seen Jesus on the road, and some of them had already had a meal with Him, and they were talking like He wasn't there, and all of a sudden He was there. In fact, they called Him a ghost. They thought they were seeing things. Ah! It probably freaked me out too, to be honest. Jesus walks in. This is after He's risen from the dead. So they all are like, and Jesus starts to talk to him like He does. How cool is that? And in Luke 24, and I'm just sharing this verse, verse 49, and he said this to His faithful followers. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as My Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Power. Power. Jesus is very specific, very clear. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is so important for all believers. Many years ago, when I lived in Lansing, I attended a wedding. And at the reception, we had a great time, and my two older boys were there, but they drove separate. And after the reception was over, we were heading home, and it was pretty late. And my son, he's in this older, I don't know if you guys will even remember this, but it was an Oldsmobile 98. Can I hear gas guzzler? Yeah. So this is my oldest son's car, and he'd just gotten his license. And I was like, all right, Cam, I'll see you at home. Okay, Dad, see you in a little bit. We get home, and they weren't there. Minutes go by, turning into hours. How many dads are in here? What do you start doing? Yeah, where is this young man? Yeah, right? You know what I'm saying. Where did he go? They get in an accident. I mean, you're thinking all the worst stuff. Hours went by. Finally, I get a call. It's my oldest son. He had to wake somebody up, because this is before cell phones, by the way. He had to wake somebody up to use their landline to call me to say, Dad, I ran out of gas. I'm like, son, how did you do that? We were just going home. And he goes, well, you know that one turn that takes us to our house? I said, yeah. He says, well, I took the one to Grand Rapids instead. So he's 40 miles west. So not only did I have to drive an hour to get to him, I also had to pick up 5 gallons of gas, buy it, take it to him, dump it in his tank. It was very quiet. I didn't say a lot, because I knew if I spoke, the fruit of the Spirit might not be exhibited. Got him back on the road, gave him some money, and said, stop at that gas station, fill that tank up, and you better be home. Of course, I had to speak the next day. This is Saturday night. It's Sunday morning the next. Well, it was Sunday morning by then. I wasn't happy. How many of you have ever run out of gas? Look at all the hands going up. Wow. Don't they have like little lights and things that tell you? Don't run out of gas. Don't run out of gas. You need the power. What happens when you run out of gas? Your car does what? Nothing. You might be able to play the radio for a little while, but it doesn't move, does it? It looks like a car. It still looks like a car. But without that magical elixir that causes the combustion in the engine of that vehicle, it ain't gonna move. It's necessary. Jesus knew that his followers could not function without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that wise advice that he gave to his first century disciples is equally important for Jesus' disciples in this 21st century. We cannot do much of anything for the kingdom of God without being filled with his Spirit. Acts 1, 4 and 5 says this, Jesus speaking, just before he's ascending to heaven. Once when he was eating with them, and I believe this is the same, he was eating with the disciples in that last passage that I read from Luke. I believe this is the same thing. Luke's just referring back to it. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the, what? That he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what was so important about this? Why was Jesus adamant that they had to wait? He goes on to say in verse 8, skipping a couple verses that talk about end times things, he says, but you will receive power. Say that with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So pretty much the whole earth, right? He's telling his disciples, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to go out, take this good news out, and tell everybody about me, about what I've done in your life, about what you saw, that you witnessed. This word, power, in the English is from the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the English word dynamite. Dynamite! Man, I keep going back to those old shows. I don't even remember. Never mind. But it means strength, energy, power to produce life. It's miraculous power. It's not something you and I can come up with. Dave is powerful. More powerful than I am. And Mike next to him, he's, look at the guns on this guy. I see him at the gym. That's why I know he works out. They're powerful men. But not as powerful as those filled with God's Holy Spirit. The Lord said to Zerubbabel, and I shared this at prayer, but it bears witness, not by might nor by power, but by my strength, says the Lord. If we want to do anything, it's going to be done through the Lord. When Jesus told his disciples they were to wait until they received power, he wasn't just kidding. The power of the Holy Spirit is so explosive that it can break through the strongest barriers that the enemies of God can put up. How many last night were tuned into the news? Five of you? Do you even know what happened? Iran started shooting missiles toward Israel. And I'm like, oh boy. This could get interesting. You know, we've got a whole fleet in the sea right there. I'm thinking, uh-oh. So what did I do? Sat down and cried. No. I began to pray. I prayed for Israel. I prayed, Lord, just keep them safe. And it, to my understanding, not one of those missiles hit their target. That's God. And I don't mean to connect that with just my prayers. Christians all over the world were praying. The church was praying. Wherever we agree on anything, I believe God intervenes. The question must be asked, why would modern disciples of Christ do anything without first being filled with the Lord's mighty power? Did the disciples of Jesus wait like he said? Of course. And we read about this in Acts 2. And it's on the day of Pentecost that all believers, all of the believers, they believe there were about 120 that were still there, were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Now, this was the first time that this ever happened, obviously, as it's written down in the Bible, so that flames or the tongues of fire that were dancing on their heads, that was a single time that they saw that. However, this last verse, filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in other languages, that has happened over and again. And there are many other places in the book of Acts and elsewhere that speak of the gift of tongues, the ability to speak in a language that we did not learn. I like to call it a heavenly language. It allows us to communicate with the Lord in prayer and praise and intercession. That was not a special circumstance like the tongues of fire. Rather, it became the evidence for those baptized in the Holy Spirit. What was the result of God filling his people as he did? It gave them boldness. As I see it, it gave them courage. What do we lack today? If I were to say to you, I want you to leave here today, go find one person and tell them about Jesus, how many of you would be going, I can't do that. Why would I do that? Well, I believe that's what happened here. I really do. It gave them boldness and courage to do things that before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they weren't willing to do, nor did it even enter their minds. The result of them being filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. About how many? 3,000. Woo! So he went out, he started talking to them, and of course, we know that they were speaking in tongues. Why? Because they were accused of being drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning. And Peter actually said, no, this isn't what you think it is. No, God's gotten in us. This is the Lord. And then he began to talk about Jesus and how he lived with them, how he died, was crucified, died, and was buried, and then rose from the grave. And they were all listening, and then the end result was He said, how many of you would like to receive Jesus? 3,000 said yes. This isn't something a human being is going to do on their own anyway. We need the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:42, just moving ahead a little bit, it says this, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Do we do those things? A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. To me, this last thing is like the biggest miracle. Because we don't do this. We don't share everything we have. I'm going to pick on Ron. Ron, if I came over to your house and said, hey, brother, can I borrow your car for a week? Can I borrow that brand new, is it a Suburban? He's just going, huh? He ain't, you notice he's not answering me? Oh, it's Judy's. Hey, Judy, could I come over to your house? And you know, we're going to be less likely to just say, yeah, come on. Yeah, go ahead, man. Just, Pastor, you should. Yeah, if you want to borrow my car, you can. Or what about moving in with you? I'm not picking on you two again, no. Who else can I pick on? Clarence, you got room, man? I need a place to live, man. You got food? I'm hungry. They shared everything. It's not something we do today. Not at least without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The flesh gets in the way. When the Holy Spirit fills us, when we do the ministry as we've been filled, signs and wonders follow us. That means that people will come to Christ as they witness God's power in His people. I used this word earlier, but I'm concerned in the church that we've become dry, that we've lost this desire to see God moving in our lives. We need to come to Him once again and say, Lord, pour out Your dunamis power upon us. By the way, I used the word awe. Let's go back there real quick. Oops, that one. There, nope. Forward. Did you already see it? There it is. Where is it? Ah, it's in yellow. That's why I couldn't see it. A deep sense of awe came over them. That word awe is really from the root word to fear. I talked about that last week, remember? It's to have a reverence for God and for everything He wants to do. So when we come together and we fear the Lord, when we're in awe of Him, that's when all of this stuff starts happening in the church. Paul said to the Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine. What's that going to do? Ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to talk about prayer and praise and making songs, singing songs in the Spirit, etc. God wants us to be filled with Him. But do we want to be filled? This word filled, by the way, in the Greek is a present tense. In other words, what Paul was telling the church is that they were to continually be filled. This wasn't a once and done, like so many treat God. Yep, I prayed that prayer once. I read the Bible once. Come on, really? No, it's coming to Him every day. Recognizing that without Him, you are nothing. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You want to wonder sometimes why your day is miserable? Maybe you forgot the most important ingredient. When you got out of bed that morning, you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. You didn't get up and say, Lord, I need you. Help. Jesus, Master, I can't do it without you. Come on. After the 3,000 people came to Jesus, I want to get to this. As I understand it, the idea that we get filled is that we use it up, then we get filled again, then we use it up, then we get filled again, and then we use it up, etc., etc. It's like filling your car, right? How many just fill it once since you bought it? Some of you, you raise your hand, yeah. It's called gas pump. God invites us to do this. I talked about this last week. You remember? Talking about Jesus and the vine, John 15, where he says, unless you're connected to me, what's going to happen? You're going to wither and die. But if you're connected to me, hallelujah, you got the power. You got the power. It's so simple. This serves at least three purposes, and I know there are more, but I only have three. Number one, it keeps us connected to the vine, as I just said. Amen. Number two, it prevents us from running out of gas. Now, I'm talking spiritually speaking here, but we all have a spirit. We may work out in the gym and get strong there. Maybe mentally we do things to improve that. Some of you need to work on that. I need to work on that. But the spirit, we forget. There's three parts. And if you're not feeding the spirit, man, who's the strongest in you? Mind, body, or? It should be the spirit. Because if your spirit's strong, those other two aren't going to affect you as much as they could. You could be the biggest weakling in the room. If you're filled with God's Holy Spirit, you are powerful. You got nothing to worry about. So keep that balance. So number two, it prevents us from running out of gas. And then number three, and I believe this is so important. When we're plugged into God like this on a daily basis, we have the Father's heart. Just like Jesus. You never saw Jesus go long without saying, hey guys, I'm going to go get alone for a little bit. Well, he wasn't just going and taking a cat nap. He was recharging his batteries. He was going to the Father saying, how much longer, Lord? No, I don't know what he said. I'm sure he said, Lord, I love you. Thank you for sending me all those good things. He spent time with his dad, his heavenly Father. And God invites us to do the same. After the 3,000 people came to Jesus on that day that Peter spoke, the Jewish leaders got really concerned that Peter and John, they were doing the same things Jesus did. They thought they were done with this guy. We killed him. Yay. We can part it. We can partay. Nothing to worry about now. Jesus is dead. That king of the Jews, he's gone. Not realizing that Jesus had invested in his people, in his followers. And now they were doing the same thing Jesus did. And Jesus said, even greater miracles will you do in my name. And they're out there healing the sick. They're out there seeing all these people come to Jesus. And I'm certain that the temple, the Jewish temple guys were going, hey, this ain't cool. We had half the attendance this Sunday. Where'd they go? Well, they're out there listening to that Peter and John guy talking about Jesus again. I thought he was dead. He is. Well, they thought. But they're doing miracles. Signs and wonders are following them. Needless to say, they weren't happy. And in Acts 4, I've just got the verse kind of chopped up here a little bit. 7b, it says, they inquired, meaning Caiaphas and the religious leaders, they inquired of these two apostles, not quite apostles, almost disciples, by what power or by what name did you do this? Of course, we all know, right? The name of Jesus. Then Peter, and this is the part I wanted you to see, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, this is where he introduced them to Jesus again. Of course, they weren't happy with him. In fact, they were rather frustrated. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's when everything began to change. And after they explained all this to the high priest and to Caiaphas, they were threatened. You know, you can expect that if you're moving in the Spirit, if you're seeing people healed, if people are coming to Jesus, confessing their sins, you can be assured that you will be threatened, just like they were. Because the enemy doesn't want you out there. In fact, he has put such a fear in the church. Oh, you can't say that in public. Talk about Jesus? Are you crazy? That's against the law. I'm being facetious, but you guys, and even me sometimes, we've fallen into this where we've thought, I can't talk about him. What's going to happen? They're going to throw you in jail? They're going to call the popo? And by the way, I respect the police. You know that. I'm a chaplain with the state police. You know that. I love those guys. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know. But I do know this, that if we are willing to be filled with God's Spirit, once you're born again, and if you'll let God do miracles through you, stay connected to the vine, you're going to see things happen in your life. And Judy, I'm picking on you. You have a daycare. How many kids are in there? 6 kids. 16 kids, oh my. I need to pray for you more. Okay. 60, are they all born again? Are they all saved? All those little ones in there? Yes, no, maybe? Maybe. Do you use your gift to help introduce them to Jesus? Yes. That's why I picked on you, because Ron already told me. The reason that I'm saying this is simply this. It doesn't have to be to go out and reach somebody that you don't even know. It can be somebody that God has put right in your family room. It can be your neighbor. It can be Uncle Joe, Aunt Phyllis, a brother. God wants to use us. But I think we've feared what going to happen if we open our mouths. Let me get to this last part. I'm almost done. And now, this is after they were threatened by Caiaphas and the high priest, and this is Peter and John, they said, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give us, your servants, great boldness. Say that. Great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. This is the stuff that we should be praying for. That God would use his people. Listen, we're coming close. I thought last night I was going, whoa, this could be it. Blow on that thing once, will you? When that trumpet blasts and the dead in Christ rise first, and then all those who are still alive are taken up, it's coming soon. I mean, come on. I'm not date setting, but I'm saying the season is ripe. Look around. It's crazy what's going on in this world, even in our own backyard. So as I begin to close, please stand. Let some blood flow to your extremities. The last verse I wanted to share. After this prayer, what happened? The meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? So that we can do the things that God has called us to do. Some of us were called to preach, like I'm doing here today. Some in the city square. I'm not suggesting anybody here, unless God tells you that. You better listen if He does. But I do believe, and Chelsea alluded to this earlier, we're all missionaries. We're all called to reach the lost. We're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It'll change lives for eternity. Those that are broken, God can put you back together again. Those that had no hope, had no future, He'll give you a hope in the future. But you've got to come to Him. And the rest of us, those who are already born again, we need to stop fearing what somebody's going to do to us and start sharing as the Holy Spirit gives us the unction. And it looks different for everybody here. You know, I've talked to some of the guys that have spent time in prison. Wow, you don't think, oh yeah, I want to go to prison. No, you don't think like that. But once you're there and you end up getting saved, you got a captive audience. And a lot of men and women come out of prison knowing Jesus. What else did they have to do? Well, there were a lot of things, but Jesus was the better way. And I love seeing what God has done in the lives of those people who have spent time there and how they've come out and they're free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. But don't stop there. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the power. And then you need to keep getting the power. So I'm talking to everybody here. We got to stop running on fumes and start spending more time seeking the Lord, letting Him fill us afresh and anew with His Holy Spirit, getting in that Word. Come on now. Getting in that Word, because when you're filled with His Holy Spirit, God illuminates that Word. He reminds you of the things that He said. And when you're speaking to somebody and you're going, I don't know what I'm going to say, the Holy Spirit says, that's all right. I'll help you. I'll put the words in your mouth. And He will. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Not only did He pay the way for us to receive our salvation, to see our names written in heaven, but Lord, He said, I'm not going to leave you as little orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your counselor, your advisor. He's going to empower you so that you can go out and preach boldly to those who need to hear it. In Gaylord, in Lansing, in the United States and throughout the world. Lord, we're hungry for you today. And I pray, if you're here today and you just say, Pastor, I need more of the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands up right now. You just want to be filled afresh and anew. Could I ask you, if you don't mind, I'm not going to belabor this, but would you come forward if you just want more of what God has? This is just a step of faith. Just do it. Don't stay where you're at. If you want more, hallelujah. You know, we're living in an age that's so unsure. And I know Scripture says this, what used to be right is wrong now. What used to be wrong is now right. And it just doesn't make sense to me. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need His wisdom, His intellect. And He can help us walk through these times. He can help us to give an account that makes sense to those who are questioning God, who are questioning the Bible. But we can't do this on our own. We need Him. And I believe in large part, it just requires us to do what you're doing right here today, just to come to the altar and just make a place where you say, God, I'm insufficient on my own, but I know you came to fill me. So, Lord, fill me up with the power, with the promise. Lift your hands. Just say, Heavenly, say this with me. Heavenly Father, you said you'd send the Holy Spirit. And I believe it. And right now, I've already confessed Jesus as my Lord. Put my soul in His hands. And now I pray, take me to that next level. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help me to hear from You. Help me to have Your heart. When I see that person standing on the side of the road, and You nudge me to go to that person, help me not to be afraid, but to have courage, even boldness. And Lord, help me not to fear what the government's going to say to me. I want to represent You. As the Bible says, I am Your ambassador, Jesus. May I speak Jesus. May I preach Jesus as You fill me with Your Spirit. I pray this today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a hand. Woo! I'm going to continue this next week, but for right now, I think, would you please, all right, is this once and done? No. Take time every day this week, would you, and just come to Him and just say, Lord, it's Jen again. Lord, it's Jen again. I'm picking on Jen. Lord, it's Jen again. I need You. I need all that You have for me today. Fill me up. And Lord, help me to spill into other people's lives today. Hallelujah. Can we pray that? Can we do that? You think God will honor that prayer? I do too. So let's do that. Father, keep us safe as we come and go today. Bless this church, Lord, those that are listening online. Lord, I pray that You would just continue to do mighty things, miracles, signs and wonders following. And Lord, we just commit this church, this people into Your hands. In Your mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless. Hey, shake somebody's hand. Hug somebody's neck you haven't met. God bless you.